Praise God. Let's lift up every heart and every hand, every voice. Let's magnify and praise Him. Press into this presence of the Lord moving in the house tonight. Ah, we give You praise, oh God. We magnify You. We bless Your name, oh God. Hallelujah. If you've got a praise in your heart, let it loose right now. He's been good to you. Give Him praise and magnify. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every time you praise, you ought to praise Him like it might be your last time to praise. I want everybody to know there's nobody like my Jesus. I want the devil to know it doesn't matter what's happening in my life. God's still good. God is still good. God is still good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Him tonight like you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, like you want to be filled with the Spirit of God. We give You praise, we magnify You. God, we worship You, we bless Your name. Magnify, magnify, magnify. What a good God, what a worthy God. Hallelujah. Praise from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. His name is to be praised. This is that sweet-smelling sacrifice going up among the Gentiles unto God tonight. It's a great thing to stand and fulfill prophecy tonight. Praise God. So the prophecy is coming to pass on every hand. We are the fulfillment of prophecy. The nations are being driven by it. The nations are aligned tonight according to the prophecy of Daniel and Ezekiel. And it is outside their power to resist. But God just shapes it all according to His will. And even if their heart is purposed against God, they can't but do what God has spoken. Because God, the only thing that is loose in the earth that doesn't have to follow after the will of God is the heart of man and the will of man. And God allows us for this brief moment in time to exercise will so that those that love God can by will bring their sacrifice of praise before God. There'll be a day when nobody exercises free will and moves in their own opposition against God, because everything will be according to the power and the will and the purpose of God. But tonight we are in that wonderful place where we don't have to be here, but we are because we desire to be here. We don't have to praise Him, but we praise Him because we love Him and He's been a good God. We don't have to serve Him. He lets us go. We could be down at Burger King tonight, but God has been good to us and we want to be in the house of God. Oh man, people are getting the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name. I'd rather be here than anywhere in this city tonight. Praise God. So we're going to make our way on through Hebrews chapter 11. And we're making our way through. We're going to tag into what we were working on this morning. If you're a visitor in the house, it's excellent to have you here. I want you to make yourself at home. And we are simply people seeking for more of God in our lives. And we're looking with passion to find our place in the kingdom of God so that we can be productive and to fulfill God's purpose and desire for us. There is no sweeter place to live in all of man's experience than in the middle of the will of God, producing and being and bringing forth fruit in the kingdom of God. That is the sweetest spot that you could live in. We're going to read tonight in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6. I want to say thank you to the men that were involved in preparing the men's prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. Brother Jeff, Brother Dan, and a host of others were there and prepared a meal for us and got in early and all that. Let's give them a hand. They are wonderful in service to God. Praise God. You want to continue to be in prayer for Sister Willadeen. She's in the hospital, has been for most of a week, and she is very, very sick. And we just want to lift her up and pray for her and strengthen her. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is a necessity for all of us. This is the hall of God's heroes of faith. We're going to make our way through this tonight. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks and bless his name. Mighty God, we thank you for the privilege of handling your word tonight. We pray, God, lay your hand on every heart. Let the seed of the word be planted in it. Bless every home by your word tonight, oh God. Shake this city by your word tonight, oh God. Let it go forth out of this place and into the heart of this city, oh God. And we ask it in the name above every name. And everyone said amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we are, and it defines faith in a very clear way with examples. It fleshes out faith, and it gives you demonstrations of faith, and we see it in the lives of these biblical heroes. And faith is something that we do, and so it's something that we can see in the lives of others. And as we move through this, these services oriented toward Hebrews chapter 11, we need to evaluate and take stock and feel our pulse and know if we are walking and operating in faith. Faith is bridge work between where we're standing and the promise of God. It is bridge work between our natural reality and the ultimate spiritual reality of God. Faith is the heritage of God's people. Everyone who's ever been great in the kingdom of God has walked in faith. And faith is the common experience of every dispensation. And we can't be anything less than what God's people have been all during the tenure of the Word of God. We have to walk by faith. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And likewise, our report before God is going to be crafted by our exercise of faith. Faith is unshakable knowledge. Faith is an understanding and a knowledge that spirit is primary and that God is spirit and everything came forth from spirit. And so all of our ultimate answers are in spirit. And so we seek out the spirit of God and we look to him. His word is spirit and it is life. And so we exercise and we move in the spirit and we want to walk up and down in the spirit in prayer and in worship and plumb the depth of what God has made available to us in spirit, because there lie our answers. Our answers are in the moving of the Spirit of God. It is not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so faith is harnessed to spirit and the knowledge that it is primary to everything. Through faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And so we don't look for our answers to the natural. We look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from thee, O God. So then faith is our experience in God, and faith is what we do. Faith is not a feeling or a thought. It is an action. And so faith is always connected to works, and we always see our faith and your faith by what we do. You can't divorce faith from works. We are what we do. Wherefore, he said in Matthew, you shall know them by their fruits, or you shall know them because of what they do. You are what you do. You are not separate from that. And so it is imperative that your actions follow the word of God. It is imperative. That is a faith walk. We do what the word of God declares, regardless of circumstance or need or pressure or social constraints. We operate by the word of God, and faith is what we do. So then our works or what we do give evidence, or they demonstrate our faith. And as we make our way through Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to see these heroes of faith, and we will know that they have faith according to God's word by what they do. And we'll define faith in them and in ourselves. So then this morning we looked at the altar of faith. Your faith always has an altar, and your altar reveals your faith, what is on it, how large it is, what you're able to bring to God. Cain did not serve God well in faith because he brought what he wanted to bring, but Abel pleased God. He brought the sacrifice that God commanded. Faith pleases God, and we looked at Enoch this morning, and Enoch was walking with God by faith, and Enoch was not because he was taken, but he had this testimony before he was translated that he pleased God. And so faith pleases God. Anybody here want to please God? You want God to look down and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Look down and say, those are my people and I'm happy with them tonight and they're worshiping me. And tomorrow morning, there they go. They're off into the city and they're walking up the corridors of their schools and onto their job sites and in their homes, and they're walking by faith. And their circumstances may not be perfect, but their belief and their faith in God is perfect. And their response, you may not have a perfect circumstance or situation, but you can have a perfect response unto God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want you to thank God right now for your day and your circumstance and the things that are happening in your life. I want you to give God praise for directing your path and ordering your steps. You may not be where you want to be, but if God is in charge, God's going to make it work out right in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So a looming question whenever we're dealing with something like the chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith here, is there evidence of faith in our lives? Are there symptoms of faith? In my experience, could God look at me and take my vital signs in the spirit and find faith in me? He asked a question at the end of a teaching in Luke chapter 18. And he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And I'm just telling you, it's not found in very many places right now. But I thank God that I'm a part of an apostolic church that believes it the way it was preached in Acts chapter 2 and the way it was experienced in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 10. I'm so glad that somebody still contends for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We don't want a new thing. We want a biblical thing. We don't want a man-made thing. We want a God thing. And we'll walk it by faith tonight. The whole world may disagree with it, but if it's the word of God, that's what we want to do. Praise God. So then we look at ourselves for symptoms and evidence of faith. Verse 6, Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So I want to please him, so then I have to find evidence, or I have to change who I am and what I'm doing so that I can be a person that walks in faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now this seems very straightforward, and you might pass by this casually, but this is a very strict determinant of who you are in the kingdom of God. Your works are symptomatic of your faith. What you are doing in your everyday life is symptomatic of your faith or the lack of it. So what does faith look like? Well, what are the symptoms of faith? I want you to understand, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want you to understand that faith pleases God, and faith believes that God is. Now, that seems so rudimentary, almost redundant, almost needless to say. You must believe that he is. But I've met apostolic people that walk as though there were no God. You say, what do you mean they walk like there's no God? Because they live one way before people, but they do something else outside that circle, as if God was not present, as if God was not there. And in their private life, they are a train wreck, and they live before men. But friend of mine, brother, sister, you need to realize tonight there is a God with whom we have to deal. You must believe that he is. And if you have faith, you're the same thing in the house of God that you are in your house. And you're the same thing in the schoolhouse that you are in the church house. And you're the same thing down on the job that you are when you're in the house of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Faith is consistent. Faith is the same. Faith is rooted in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. It's based on the Word of God, and the Word of God is forever settled in the heavens. And so we're going to be the same thing every day in every place with everybody. Otherwise, I challenge whether you believe that it really is. Faith believes that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me back up. Do you understand what I just told you? If it's only social and cultural with you, you're not dealing with God. You're dealing with people and organization and church and family or whatever it is at whatever level. But this has got to be you and God. Young person, you've got to get out in a place and meet God and do business with God. I know mama and daddy brought you here, but at some point this has got to be bigger than your friends and your social connections and whoever it is that you're wanting to live right for. This has to be about, you can't live for God for somebody else. You've got to chart this out for yourself. Faith believes that God is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith prays. People pray when they believe. People pray when they have faith that God is, and that God is a rewarder of. Take your pulse tonight. If you're not praying, it's just because there's no faith moving in that life. Now, God has given to you the measure of faith. It's down in there. You just got to use it. You got to get in the gym of God and begin to exercise that thing. Begin to move in that thing. It's down in there. It's not that you're bereft of it. It's just you haven't attended to it at any decent level, and it's not doing you any good. You've got to find yourself a place of prayer. You've got to find an altar in your life. You've got to begin to call on the name of God. Faith believes that God is. Faith prays. Faith believes that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Do you know the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much? Don't you know your answer is in God? Right now you're looking for an answer. When in people, you're looking for an answer. Maybe at a bank, you're looking for an answer in some human institution. But I cannot tell you tonight that your answer is in God, that God has it all in the palm of His hand, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. My God, somebody give God a little praise right now. Somebody that believes God, give Him a little glory right now. Somebody loose your mouth and tell God, I know you're going to take care of it all, oh God. I know you've got it in the palm of your hand. I'm going to just take a little praise break right now and give God thanks, because I'm not worried about the problem, because God has it. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I believe in God. Tell him, I believe God's a rewarder. All I got to do is diligently seek Him. Faith prays. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you don't have a prayer life, you can't please God. You may have holiness down, and we love it, and we teach it, and we believe it. You may have it down totally, absolutely. But if you don't have a deep life in the Spirit and you're not praying and seeking the face of God, it's just a social cultural thing with you. And that's what the Pharisees were. They had it all right on the outside, but Jesus said, inside you're full of dead men's bones. You're like a whited sepulcher. So I want you to live holy and walk holy and do it right and live it biblically. And I want you to get all that right. But this is not living before men and men checking you out to make sure you're right. This is about living before God and God checking you out and making sure that you're right. But the place where you have to cross over into the arena of faith. I'm living this for God. I'm living this for God. I'm serving God. I'm worshiping in the house tonight for God. I'm singing the song for God. I'm preaching the sermon for God. I'm clapping my hands for God. I'm giving my tithe and offering for God. I'm serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My God, let's elevate this thing above the level of human experience. Let's walk in the place where everything we do is as unto God. It changed. You know, living for people is okay and noble in some ways, but can be a drag. But living for God is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is there a witness in the house? Living for God is peace that passes all understanding. The good stuff in this is plumbing the depth of the Spirit and making yourself known to God in prayer. When he said, "Will I find faith on the earth when I return?" It is at the tail end of a teaching in Luke 18 on prayer. It's about the little woman and the unjust judge. And she is persistent in her prayer. She won't stop praying. And when she's resisted and when she's rebuffed and when she doesn't get affirmation, she just continues in prayer. Faith prays and faith continues to pray. And faith gets up in the morning and says, "It might not have happened yesterday, but I'm praying again today. God, you're going to have to deal with me." It's a companion scripture to Luke chapter 11. The man knocking at the door at midnight, and the one on the inside, who in the parable is God, said, "Go away, we're down for the night." And the man wouldn't go away, and he didn't give him what he needed because he was his friend, but he gave him what he needed for his importunity's sake. He would not go away. You got to get up tonight. You've got to get up in the morning, and you've got to pray the prayer all over again, because faith prays and faith continues to pray and faith never stops praying. You're going to eat tomorrow. We just came through a week of prayer and fasting. I'm glad you're fasting, but you're going to eat some meals tomorrow, because you know I have to have nurture in my body, and you know that you're going to get grumpy if you don't eat. Your blood sugar is going to go haywire, and you're going to get all sleepy and weird, and you're not going to perform well, and nobody will like being around you. Can I tell you that prayer is more important to you than lunch tomorrow? Prayer is more important to you than that phone call. Prayer, I don't know how much time you're going to spend tomorrow on Facebook, but prayer is more important than that. I don't know how much time you're going to spend with those thumbs. Some of you are going to have, there's something's going to develop. It's going to be like carpal tunnel, but it's going to be carpal thumbel, and it's going to be some catastrophic malfunction of the thumbs because of continual texting. I don't know how long you're going to spend doing that tomorrow, but I can tell you that prayer's more important than anything you're going to do on social media tomorrow. My God, if you got time to talk to people, you've got to make time to talk to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Because if you believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, you're going to pray. And he equates prayer with faith. The story's about prayer, but he says, "Will I find faith on the earth?" And what he means is, when I come back, will I find anybody praying? Will I find anybody praying? And the stories about the old timers praying won't do you a bit of good right now. Somebody's got to be a pioneer. It's new in every generation, and it's new in every life that comes alive in the presence of God, born again of water and spirit, and the prayer journey begins all over again. All it is walking with God like Adam did in the cool of the evening. All it is walking with God like Enoch did, and it pleased God, and God said, "We're closer to my house than to yours. Come home with me today." He had this testimony. He pleased God. Prayer pleases God. It's got to be good prayer. It's got to be biblical prayer. But prayer is essential. If we're going to be an apostolic church, if we're going to double, if we're going to see your sons and your daughters and your moms and your dads come to live for God, if we're going to shake a city, it's not going to happen by planning. It won't happen by the strength of organization. It won't happen by any device of man. It's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit, saith God. And the portal into the Spirit is prayer. Prayer is how it happens. Prayer is where it comes from. Prayer is how it's conceived, and prayer is how it's sustained. Prayer. Somebody say faith prays. Praise God. Faith pays its tithes. Faith pays tithes. Faith gives in the offering. The whole history and narrative of the people of God, they bring their substance and they give their small portion to God. And the reason that God does this with us is he lets us participate in his process. And what the tithe is, the tithe indicates, and it's just 10%, but the tithe means 10%, a tenth. And what it means is everything I am belongs to God. It's like the first fruits. They would go into the harvest and they would take out just a little bit. bit of the harvest and bring it and lay it before God, because they're saying the whole harvest belongs to God. God's the one that makes it grow. God's the one that gave it to me. God's the one that gave me life and breath today. In him we live and move and have our being. God is the fountain of it all. He's the giver of every good gift. And I'm just bringing this to tell God, to tell myself over and over and over again, and to tell everybody around me, the devil included, that I belong to God. That's what that was about. And the tithe is the same thing. I bring my tithe to God because I say everything I am, everything I have belongs to God, and this is an indication of it. I bring it on a regular basis. If I'm a farmer, I bring it once a year. If I get paid every week, I bring it every week. If I get paid every month, I bring it every month. If I get paid sporadically and weirdly, I have to figure out my own schedule. But I bring it to God on a regular basis. My tithe, everybody say, faith pays its tithes. Well, praise God. Faith doesn't hold back. When you hold back, you're saying, I've got to have this. You know, God's got everything he needs. He owns all the gold and silver and all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's okay. I need this. But you're a dunderhead. Because what you don't know is that Malachi chapter 3 says, if you will bring tithe and offering into the storehouse, God says, I'll give you a challenge. He said, test me, try me, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a great blessing upon you that you can't receive. It's so huge, it's so vast. Is anybody in this house in need of more? Could you use more? You really need to bring your tithe. You can't affect tithe one way or the other. It just is what it is. The offering is the place where you have capacity to change the equation of God. And so when you need more, you bring more. Now you might think, well, that's just preacher talk. But you know me, I don't deal with this very much. I don't talk about this much. We teach it in the Bible study, but I don't beat the drum. It's like the stereotypical beggar preacher. I'm trying to kill these stereotypes. That's why when we go to lunch, I buy your lunch. Because I'm killing the stereotype of the freeloading preacher. They're on the elevator. Preacher's got a big belly. The guy gets on the elevator and the guy says, move the beer barrel. And he said, well, I'll have you know I'm a preacher. He said, well, move the chicken coop. I've got to get on the elevator. But I want to kill the stereotype of the freeloader preacher. Now, that's why I did it. But I don't beat the drum about this very much. But I am remiss if I don't remind you that if you don't pay your tithe, you can't be right with God. If you don't pay your tithes, everything else you're doing is insanity. You've got to get this right. What it says is, I belong to God. I belong to God. Everything I have belongs to God. Beside that, I need the window of heaven to open. Because I got some prayers I need answered. I've got some people I've been praying for, and I want God to do something in their life, and I want to get all my T's crossed and all my I's dotted, and I don't want God to say we got a problem in the paperwork. I want him to just be able to open up the window and pour out the blessing of God on those that I'm praying for. My God, if you need more of God in your life, faith pays its tithes, and faith brings an offering to God, because faith believes that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Now, you missed a really nice spot right there. You should have screamed and run the aisles and shouted on a little preaching about tithes and offerings. Praise God. But you see, it doesn't work now because I told you you had to. It's in that sweet, spontaneous moment. It's like, God, I love this preaching about tithing. I want to bring this stuff to you, God. And I want you to open. I can hear the hinges of God opening. God's got a big storehouse. Is there a witness in the house? Has God opened up the windows and blessed your life and strengthened your life and helped your life? My God, I can hear Brother Rowley preaching about the land of never enough, the land of just enough, and the land of more than enough. I don't want to live in either of those first ones. I want to live in the land of more than enough, and I want to do it and engage the promise of God by faith, by bringing what I have to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. You tell me what you want to tell me, but I've read the book and I know there was a little woman in need and she was going to make a little cake and she was going to die. But the prophet said, make a cake for me first. Ah, there's that freeloading preacher. Got the poor widow there going to eat her last little cake. But what you don't know as you're going into that story is God is allowing this little widow to participate in a supernatural process. And when she's making that little cake for that prophet and she puts it in his hand, suddenly something from heaven opens up and begins to fill her little barrel of oil and her little barrel of meal. And the whole countryside is starving, but her house has bread all during the famine and all during the drought. And I want you to know we're coming into uncertain times and we're coming into an end time moment, but I'll tell you, the people of God are still under the amazed scrutiny of David, where he says, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed a begging bread. God is the one who meets every need. My God, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Faith pays its tithes. Faith gives in the offering. Faith makes time for God. That's what the Sabbath day was about. It was about making time for God. He built a structure for them. He gave them a framework for making time for God. He said, I want you to take a day, this particular day that I give you, and I want you to sit out. Don't go to work. Don't lift a load. Don't harness your animals. Don't do anything unless it's an absolute emergency. And as they did, it was witnessed to them and to their children, and it made its indention in their heart. My God, your children need to know that we give to the house of God, and we are always, your children don't ever need to ask you the question, Mommy, are we going to church today? Your children don't ever need to ask you, Daddy, are we going to church today? Your kids need to get up on Sunday morning and be ready on Wednesday night, and they need to know every time the doors are open, we're going to be in the house of God. We're going to make time for the kingdom of God. It's not going to be sporadic in our lives, but whenever we are opening the doors, we're going to be there. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you work a weird schedule, I'm not throwing stones at you. If you know me, you know we've already had the conversation about it. But I'm telling you, when it's in your power and it's at your discretion, you need to be in the house of God. Clap your hands unto him. We're starting a new year. We're going to have a new revival. We're going to double before this thing is over. We're going to fill up this house and the next house. We're going to do that. Yes, we are. But we're not going to do it with slipshod and shoddy response to God. We're going to do it by being faithful to God, because faith pleases God. And God responds to faith. Well, praise God. Faith makes time for God. Faith observes our present day equivalent of the Sabbath. We make room for God. We make schedule for God. And it makes an indention. It tells you. And he is very, very specific. He said, it is a sign unto you. And that language is curious, because you would think a sign would be that you two would be for someone else. But it's more for you than anybody else. You are making a sign for yourself. What you do speaks to you. You are what you do. Others evaluate you by what you do, but you evaluate you by what you do. What you do is who you are, even in your own mind. And as you observe the Word of God and do the things that the Word of God has commanded you, it makes an impression in your psyche and in your mind deeper and deeper. I am the people of God. I am a part of the kingdom of God. How do you know that? Because, man, I am there every time the door is open. I participate in everything that's going on. I am a part of this, lock, stock, and barrel. I have developed a prayer life. How do you know what you are? You know what you are by what you do. You can run down a punch list, a criteria there. It has nothing to do with what you feel about it. It has everything to do with what you do. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands if you're glad to be an apostolic tonight. Clap your hands if you're glad to be living for God. Praise God. Sister Gina, do you know if Rebecca's in Togo? Do you even know what I'm talking about? Is anybody in touch with Sister Gina, Rebecca Harrison? She's in Paris. We're not going to pray for her because she's in Paris. We're going to pray for her when she gets to Togo. because she's got State Department connections there, and she is friends with people that may be involved with the ambassador office there in Togo, and they have help in their home and in the embassy there that are apostolic. And before she left, I hooked her up with Brother Sully, our missionary to North Africa, and he's got her hooked up with the missionaries in the area. And I'm remiss, and I don't mean to be jerking you around, but we need to pray for Sister Rebecca. I want you to pray for her right now, that she have a prosperous visit there, and that she's able to lead those people into an apostolic experience in northwestern Africa. Would you pray for her right now? Mighty God, I just pray you lay your hand on Rebecca. Open a door for her, oh God, that no man can close. Make room for her, mighty God. Move in her life. Give her wisdom to speak and to witness. God, I pray you touch the heart of all of those that she's working with. God, help those missionaries to be a blessing and a help to her. Bring those things together, oh God, and give a measure of revival there that they've never had before. I pray that you do it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name. Let's give God praise for that right now. Anybody here believe that a prayer here in Birmingham, Alabama has anything at all with what's about to happen in Northwest Africa? I really do, because God is not encumbered by space or time. He's not limited at all. And when his people pray, God answers. Is there somebody here that just believes that God answers prayer? Are you ecstatic about the fact that God answers prayer? Don't you know that there is nothing that shall be impossible to you? And it all moves by the name of Jesus and in prayer. Praise God. Faith makes time for God. Faith observes moments that are set aside just for the worship and the practice of the things of God. Faith forgives. I'm talking to you about a list of things that are symptomatic of faith, where you can take your own pulse and know whether or not you're walking in faith. Faith doesn't hold grudges. Faith doesn't sit offended. Faith always forgives. Faith always forgives. We're talking about the fact that you, if you're going to please God and live for God, you're going to have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And all of these things come under that heading. Faith doesn't sit on the past and mourn the past to the demise of the present and the vision of God in your life. Faith unharnesses itself from what has been and looses itself from the drag of those old and negative experiences and rises up to the promise of God in a brand new day with brand new anointing and brand new possibilities. Faith believes God that there's going to be a miracle today and that all things are possible with God. Does anybody believe that all things are possible with God? Push somebody by you and tell them everything's possible with God. Do you believe that tonight? Somebody shout that. All things are possible with God. Praise God. Faith forgives. Faith looses the offense of the past. Praise God. You can't sit here for another year and hold on to the toxic effect of what happened to you in the past, or somebody's words, or what happened back when you were younger, or whatever. I don't. And some of you have suffered terrible things at the hands of other people. But will you allow them to control your life for another year? Will you continue to harbor that in your life? Faith says, I can be all right, and God's going to make everything all right. But the act of faith is turning that person loose, turning that event loose, and letting God just move on in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody with a bitter divorce, or somebody with a lousy relationship with their parents, or somebody that was molested, or somebody that was abused. You need to loose that tonight. Shake yourself and let that go and say, God, I don't want to carry that anymore. I want you to loose me from that. I want you to hang on your cross tonight, and I want you to say, Father, forgive them. They didn't have the slightest idea what they were doing. I don't want to live with this another day. I want to. It looses you. They may go on to their grave being an evil person, but it looses you. And it's an act of faith. And your faith is not functioning when you're harboring the past and carrying the malice and the offense of past things in your life. Faith doesn't do that. Faith turns it loose and walks into the bright light of a brand new day with God. Faith says God is able. And I'm not gonna sustain these things. It just irritates me that you would give that person continual power in your life. That's what irritates me. Are you angry about that? Are you tired of that? Are you upset with what they did? Then why will you, by will and choice, let them control you today? Get out of that thing. Shake yourself. Believe God. Come on, it's gonna be a great year. Praise God. Faith continues to love after it's been hurt. Faith gets up after falling. Faith is incurably optimistic. Faith just believes it's going to be all right. You find me in the middle of a hovel and I've been hit by a garbage truck and I'm laying there, figuratively speaking. My life is in tatters. If I can open my mouth and speak to you, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be all right. Prop me up a little bit. You know, the realities of trauma, we don't diminish. But you need to be able to open your mouth at the point of impact and in the middle of the agony of the moment and say, hey, God, I understand this, but I know it's going to be all right. And don't tell me you can't do it. I see Job reaching up out of the rubble and saying, whew, God gave it. And God has taken it all away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't speak unadvisedly with his lips. And he is a paragon of faith. That was faith moving. That was faith speaking. I've just been blasted. But I believe God. I believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I believe it's going to be all right. Praise God. Somebody say it's going to be all right. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him it's going to be all right. Tell him I got a promise from God. God is able. God is good. God does everything well. Come on now. Don't argue with me. Do you believe God is able, that he does everything well? Do you believe it's going to be all right? Somebody in the middle of trouble tonight ought to stand up and say, it's going to be all right. Somebody with sickness in your body ought to say, it's going to be all right. God is able. Somebody say, God is able. Tell your neighbor he can do exceeding abundantly above everything that you can think or ask. Lindsay, come help me. I'm not quitting, but it'll fool them and make them think I am. Praise God. I want you to reach over and take someone's hand or lay your hand on someone, and I want you to pray for them. That God will open up blessings and strength. That God will restore and strengthen and heal. That God will bless them and use them. Don't think about yourself at all. Just pour yourself out in prayer for that other person. Call them by name. God, mighty God, rain down blessing. Strengthen them, oh God. Prosper them, mighty God. In the name above every name. God, do a work in their life. Lord, work your perfect will in their life. Make them fruitful. Make them profitable. Make them, oh God, a blessing to everyone they touch. God, God, help them walk up and down in faith. Lord, help them explore the promise of God. Bring forth ministry in their life, oh God. Bring forth anointing in their life, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you didn't punctuate it by speaking in tongues, do that tonight. Hey, somebody just lose yourself in the Holy Ghost a little bit here right now. Almighty God. I just think about the good days about to give us tomorrow. My God, what a promise. What a God. What a word he's given us. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you can take your pulse. and know how your faith is operating tonight. I want you to do that because we're going to need you operating at full tilt in faith this year. We're gonna need you walking in the promise of God. Praise God. And you know what I expect this year? I expect you to be everything God's called you to be. I am incurably optimistic. I expect you to rise up in the calling of God. Man, I expect God to bring forth new ministries, new passion-based ministries that we haven't even thought about yet. I expect God to raise up people that have never lifted a hand to do anything good for anybody. And they're going to have an Ebenezer Scrooge come to Jesus moment. They're going to transform and be one of the finest saints of God in the house. You know what? It's that kind of day. I really believe that's going to happen. My God, He's able. He's able. God is able. I want somebody with a real serious problem in your life right now, and you need a serious answer, and you need it right now. I want you to get up, just run the aisles right now. Just run. You need to hear from God right now. You need, man, a lot of people with problems. Hey, mighty, mighty God. Say, what does this have to do with anything that I have a problem with? I want you to know that running the aisles doesn't have anything at all to do with what your problem is. You can keep playing, but just make it small. Small music. Like a little band in a little wind-up box. Wait. I read a story about a young king and an old prophet. And the old prophet is about to die. And he wants to set this young king up with a miracle that's going to transform his life and his kingdom. He said, open up those windows. And he did. Did what the word of God said. He said, I want you to let an arrow fly out that window. And he did. He said, I want you to take those arrows now in your hand. And I want you to strike them on the ground. And the young man is flummoxed. He does not know what striking arrows on the ground has to do with anything. And he's unsure, and he's kind of maybe a little embarrassed by it all. So he takes it, and he's just going to strike a few times, three times, and not very passionately. And the old dying prophet goes ballistic on him and says, you should have beaten those arrows till they were matchsticks. He said, do you know what that was? That was your victory over your enemy. And you could have completely consumed, destroyed them. But now you're going to have three victories. What? Striking arrows on the ground is defeating my enemy? No. Obeying the word of God is defeating your enemy. Doing what God has said. And not just doing it. Doing it with fervor. And doing it with passion, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. I talked to you a little bit ago about whatever you're doing and you're doing good, just keep doing the good. But I want you to ratchet it up a little bit. I want you to goose it a little bit. I want you to tighten it up a little bit. Ramp it up just a little bit. Just give it a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Do you know if we do that all over this house, a little bit more in every place where we're ministering, a little bit more in every place where we're praying, a little bit more in every place where we're giving, a little bit more in every place where we're sowing seed is going to mean a lot more in the response that we get from on high. Come on, take the arrows in your hand tonight. If you're a worshiper, worship better than you've ever worshiped before in your life. If you're a prayer warrior, pray better than you've ever prayed before. If you're coming to the house of God, come to the house of God with greater strength and diligence than you've ever come before. My God, let's take a praise break. Somebody needs to get out in the aisle and shout.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
If you need prayer, come down to this altar. Somebody's going to pray for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you need the Holy Ghost, come down to the altar. Somebody's going to pray you through to the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
I need somebody that believes God to lay hands on these young ladies.
Lord, you're worthy.
If you need prayer, come on down to this altar right now.
Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy.
Chairs in that back row, and you brothers lay your hands on him and pray for him. Sit him down back there and pray for him right there. I need somebody that believes God to come lay their hands on Brother Thomas. Somebody that believes God to lay hands on these that are in the altar tonight. We need healing. We need blessing. We need provision. We need an anointing that destroys the yoke.